the good week that He gave us. But I've had a thought on my heart now for a good little while, and I just hadn't had the liberty to begin to look at it. And certainly it's not going to be anything new, certainly as far as that's concerned. But I want to look today at a thought that the Lord's placed upon my heart, and we're just going to try to lay some foundational work. Certainly for the thought this morning, we're probably going to spend a good little while, as long as the Lord leads us to, on this particular thought. And I pray that it will be a blessing and a help and a challenge unto our hearts for the Christians, that it would challenge each of us and help us in our daily walk with Him. And then if you're here this morning without Christ, and maybe if you're here throughout, certainly I'd pray you get saved today, but hopefully begin to get you to thinking on the thought that we're going to give you today, and it's simply this: things that are eternal. I want to preach this morning for a little while and again start a thought on things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. I want you to think about that this morning as we read the text and give you the few brief thoughts as quickly as I can this morning from the Word of God. If you found your place in the Gospel of John, the book of Genesis this morning, say amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. I'll give you just a moment to get to stand this morning if you're able, in reverence of the reading of the Word of God this morning. John chapter number 3, and again, very familiar scripture this morning, but man, I never get tired of John chapter number 3. I believe it gives us the greatest context and text in all the Bible. We find here, certainly starting in verse number 16, and it's where we're going to start our reading this morning in this gospel. He said, "For God," this is the Lord Jesus Himself speaking, "for God so loved the world." Well, we could preach right there this morning, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I like that word, whosoever, believeth in Him should not perish, but watch it now, but have everlasting life. And again, this thought this morning, things that are eternal. Notice in verse 17, the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Then go over to the book of Genesis this morning. You say, "Preacher, I just don't see how you're going to tie all this together." Well, you stick with me this morning for a little while. I'm going to try to help all of us today with the Word of God this morning, or I pray that He will. Notice in Genesis chapter number 1, now we're talking about things that are eternal. Notice in Genesis chapter number 1, in verse number 26, the Bible says, of course, the creation of the earth and the creation of mankind and all, certainly as far as creation is concerned. But we notice in verses 26 and 27, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27 says, So God created man in His own image." Think about it now. Think about how God created you and I. "And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him." Notice what it says, "male and female." I don't know why people have a problem with that, but that's the way God created. "Male and female created He them." Then verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Go over to Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And again, God coming in and filling in the creation story. Notice what He says in verse number 7 of chapter number 2. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils." Again, talking about things that are eternal. and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace again today, Lord, as humble as we know how to come. And Lord, we thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for, Lord, this good number in the house of God on this Sunday morning, on this Lord's day. And Lord, I thank you for the beautiful singing once again and the teaching of the word of God, the testimonies, the prayers that's been offered. And Lord, I thank you for your precious word. And now, Lord, I pray, Father, as your servant, God, I pray that you touch me one more time. God, I pray that you give me liberty this morning to say, Lord, what needs to be said in this service. Then I pray that ears and hearts, Father, will be open and receptive, God, to what you have for us here this morning. Lord, I pray that we might get our mindset, and Lord, we might live our life, Father, for things that are eternal. Lord, I pray you'll bless and move and work in the service now this morning. And again, if there's one here today lost, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would convict them and draw them this very day. And this day they would step out by faith and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Then, Lord, again, you'd challenge, Lord, those that are saved this morning. Oh, God, that we get out the good news of the gospel and let people know that there's an eternity out there. God, that we're all going to face. So I pray this morning, move now in the midst. And Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for all that you have done, for what you're doing, and Lord, for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments again today, and I realize time's slipping away, but you pray for us this morning as we begin to lay some foundational work on things that are eternal. As I've been thinking, as I said, about the salt, the Lord's been burdening my heart and my mind with the salt now for a good while. And I feel like we've come to the place now that the Lord wants us to share some things about things that are eternal. I want to say by saying in the way of introduction this morning that unfortunately we are living in a day, in a time where very few people are considering and thinking about and living for things that are eternal. We are living in a time of here and now without regard to what is coming in the not-so-distant future. People are living as if there is no holy God in which we are responsible to and accountable to, that each of us this morning needs to understand that He is an eternal God. And this morning, that each of us needs to take within consideration of our life on things that are eternal today. And so I begin to think about that. And I thought about this thing of eternity and everlasting life as we read there in the Gospel of John, as Jesus himself was talking about, for God so loved the world. Boy, I'm so glad that he did this morning, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that means I have that this morning because I know Christ is Savior. And you have that this morning if you know Christ is Savior. And if you do not have Christ as Savior today, you'll find, as we read in those scriptures, that you're in condemnation already. But friends, you don't have to be. I'm glad this morning that whosoever this morning is me and you and the whole world, as we well know, as we study our Bible this morning. But I begin to think about things that are eternal. I begin to think about eternity. I begin to think about the two places that mankind's going to spend eternity. And I certainly don't have time to get into that. But there are going to be some things that we're going to be looking at from the Scriptures if the Lord allows us in the next few weeks to begin to look at things that are eternal. And so I pray again there'll be a blessing and a help to each and every one here this morning. And as we begin to consider things that are eternal, everybody wants self-gratification and instant gratification in the life that we are now living in. Nobody seems to be thinking much about things that are eternal. But friends, you better begin to think about them because eternity is just right out there before us. Friend, this morning I tell you better consider things that are eternal. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 18, the Bible says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so I want to begin as we lay the foundation for this particular thought. I want to come to the creation of man. I know today you say, well, preacher, it's not anything new, and I understand that today. But do you understand that we're living in a messed up world today, that many people think that we evolved to the place that we're at today? How crazy and how foolish this morning to think about certainly man and certainly our human life and how God put it all together in the creation story. Friend, that is no accident. Hallelujah, this morning I'm glad, thank God, there's a perfect and a just God this morning. A powerful God that created man and put him there in that garden after God had created everything, and he said it was good. And then he come down to the end of the creation and he says it's very good. And so this morning, I'll tell you what, there's some things eternal. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the creation of man? Well, just hold on a few minutes this morning. I'm going to try to help you and help us all this morning. And certainly that we'd have a greater appreciation for things that are eternal. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter number 139, verse 14, David the psalmist says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And so this morning, when we begin to think about things that are eternal and the creation of man, I want you to understand today, friend, that you have an eternal soul. You have an eternal soul this morning that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody, as I said, is living for that self-gratification now. I mean, everybody wants what they want, and they want it now. I'm telling you what, they're living like there is, in some ways, no tomorrow. There's no eternity to face. There's no just God to face. But friend, there's nothing further from the truth. If you can convince a society that they just evolved, if you can convince a society that there is no all-powerful, all-knowing God, that you just happen to be here, then, friends, you can convince them of anything. I'm telling you this morning, boy, I'm glad there's a grand designer today. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a God in heaven today that made us. The psalmist said that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, my soul, he said, I will praise thee. We ought to praise him this morning just for human life. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, only God can put within you and I and make you and I and put within you and I an eternal soul this morning. I want to show you some things and share some things with you quickly on some things that are eternal. And look at the thought of the creation of man. First of all, I want us to think about these verses of Scripture, especially in the book of Genesis this morning, on the thought of, first of all, God's design of man. God's design of man. You're no accident. Hey, man, you're not an accident this morning. Hey, man. I know we got folks that talk like that today, but listen, they crazy anyhow. Hey, man, I'm telling you, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll tell you what, when I begin to think about this, God began to just speak to my heart, and he began to help me with some things, and I pray that he'll help you this morning. I'm telling you, human life is such a precious thing, and boy, we have people today that seems not to regard human life whatsoever. I'll tell you what, the abortion clinics are overflowing this morning. God help this nation. God help this country. I'm telling you what, people are fighting and feuding and protesting. I'm telling you what, anything and everything, not taking into consideration the preciousness of life. I'm telling you, God's design of humankind today, that's what that word man means in the text there in the book of Genesis, where it's used right here. It's talking about mankind. It's talking about humankind. So I begin to think about this creation of man and these things that are eternal. And I begin to think about this design of mankind, the design of you and I. Could I say this morning, there's nothing wrong with the way God designed it? God designed it right. God doesn't make no mistakes. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, where the mistakes come in is where man gets his hands into things. I'm telling you, but God's perfect, a perfect plan for his design was perfect this morning, my friend. I want you to understand something. You're important today. You're loved this morning. Preacher, I don't know nothing about this God you're talking about, but you're still precious this morning, and you're still loved by a thrice holy God today, because He designed you, and He made you this morning. God's give you something eternal, but what you do with it's up to you. What you do with it, what I do with it, is up to me. So I say God's design of man. Again, man being humankind, being mankind, and God's design was right. The first thing I thought about in God's design of man is, number one, as we read from the book of Psalms this morning in 113, I thought about the marvelous work. The marvelous work that God done in designing mankind. Listen, there's nobody else that could do that. Hallelujah. Only God could have designed and made mankind like He is. And the thing about this marvelous work in the design of man this morning is that He made you and I this morning in His image and in His likeness. Oh, that we'd get a hold of that. That we were made in His image. Matter of fact, the Bible says in our image and likeness. You say, well, preacher, why would it say our? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Brother Richard, they were all there in the original design of things. They all had a hand in the design, hallelujah, of you and I this morning. I'm telling you just to think about creation as we look across the expanse of this world and we look at the wonderful mountains and the majestic sea and all that we can see. And there's a lot of things that we can't see that God's created. But in all of that this morning, friend, the fondest of all of His creation this morning is you and me, hallelujah, that we'd get a hold of that and think about the design, how God made you and I today. Amen. Whether you know Him, whether you love Him, whether you respect Him, whether you reverence Him today, He designed you and made you. You are a part of the fondest of His creation. God's design of man. First of all, I thought about the marvelous work being made in His own image, in His own likeness. Man, that's something that goes far deeper today than I could even begin to scratch the surface of. The word image, as it's used in the text this morning, it means to have a resemblance. It means to hence be a representative figure. The word likeness this morning means to lighten forth. It means to be radiant. It means to be glistening. Oh, if you and I could go back to the garden there, as God had made certainly the garden, and He made the world and all certainly around it, and then He began to make man. Oh, think about that this morning. And He says, I'm going to make man in our image and in our likeness. You say, well, preacher, we're all different. We all look different. Yeah, I understand that today. But we were made after His image and His likeness. He made us to resemble Him. And then notice again that word that we talked about, certainly that likeness, to lighten forth, to be radiant, to be glistening. God wanted to put mankind on display. Amen. Because you're the fondest of all of His creation. Think about all the animals and all the sea life and all the fowls. And of course, they talk about that in this text in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But yet in all of that, how precious man was as He made him and designed him there in the garden. I thought about not only this likeness, this image and after the image and likeness, but John, the Gospel of John again, chapter number 1, verse number 4. Jesus, our, of course, in Him, speaking of Jesus, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Only God this morning could give that kind of life, could give that kind of light. I thought about this morning, not only today as we're thinking about certainly things that that are eternal. And certainly this morning, to take in consideration here, again, the design of mankind, or how God designs mankind, that it's a marvelous work. But not only was it a marvelous work, but I thought about the method. I thought about the method, not only the marvelous work, but the method. And you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? Well, from Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, sometimes we really think we're something. But you understand that there in the garden that God picked him up a handful of dirt? No wonder he says that, of course, the original design was not for man to die and to perish and all the things, and I don't have time to get into all that. We'll get into that later. But could you imagine that God there, hallelujah, just picked up a handful of dirt and he formed mankind there in the garden? Boy, we really get to thinking we're something. But when it all really comes, boils down to it, we're all just a handful of dirt. Well, preacher, you kind of had me lifted up, but boy, you sure know how to pull the rug out from under me. But I honestly say, that's what we are. We're a handful of, we're going back to the dust of this ground, of this earth. I'm telling you what, thank God there's something eternal. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But I'm trying to get us here to thinking about God's grand design for mankind, that it was a marvelous work. And we see the method that God again takes dust of the ground and he forms mankind here according to Genesis chapter number 2. So we see the method. He formed man of the dust of the ground. The word formed, it means to mold into a form, especially, I like this, especially as a potter. You ever see the potter work? A potter's wheel? And how that potter would take that clay and that dirt and begin to form. It don't look like much to start with. You think you really, you think you're something today? Well, you wouldn't really much to look at to start with. Hey man, you were just an old clump of clay and I was just an old clump of clay. But God began to form that and mold that there in the garden. Of course, we're representatives of that this morning. And so God began to form man there in the garden and put him in the garden. I formed man of the dust of the ground to mold into a form, especially as a potter. It means to fashion. It means to frame. It means purpose. Listen to me, friend. I'm glad God had a purpose. Hallelujah, for forming and making man and putting him there in the garden. Yes, you have a reason. You have a purpose this morning. Yes, God loves you. And God wants to do something in your life and through your life. I thought about not only in God making a man there in his original design, but I'm glad his brother Fletcher preached on Friday night, taking those broken vessels, because we're all broken, just an old bunch of cracked pots, as he said in the message. I'm glad he can take them and make them again. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for a God that can make us and shape us and mold us this morning in what he wants us to be? I'm telling you today, friend, thank God I'm glad I'm serving the true and the living God. I'm glad I know him this morning and he knows me. I just want to thank him that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, hallelujah, for a purpose. And that purpose is to know him and to serve him and to worship him this morning. Hallelujah. What a God today, my friend. What a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People say there's nothing to this thing. Well, again, if you can convince people that we derived from apes, no wonder people run around acting crazy. I have almost come to the conclusion. Now, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know how God's going to wind everything up and do everything. But I'm almost come to the conclusion this morning, if things don't fast change in America, America's going to destroy itself. Hey, man, that's exactly right. Do you realize that most of the great nations of the world fell from within? Do you understand this morning that certainly if God wanted to destroy this church, he's not going to do it from without. I mean, if a devil wanted to destroy this church this morning, he's not going to do it from without. He'll try to do it from within. Look at this whole row of young men sitting on this bench here, this third bench back this morning. Boy, it looks good. And all these little fellas up here singing. I'll tell you what this morning, if we don't do something to get into them the Word of God and get into them the truth, I'm going to tell you what, the devil will do everything he can to take away from their thoughts and their mindset, send them off to some liberal college somewhere and some old professor, old liberal professor somewhere, or try to take every bit of the God out of them that we've tried to instill in them. I'm telling you what, parents, you better instill all the God you can in them. You better instill all the Word of God that you can in them. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a world out there that's going to do everything it can to pull it away. It's going to try to tell them that we've come from apes, and we come from some amoeba floating out there. I'm telling you, thank God there's a God in heaven. Thank God that He designed us. He made us, and His design was right. Nothing wrong with the design. Man messed all that up this morning.
Amen. You're right.
If you get a man, you get these young people convinced there's no God, then you just live the way you want to. Nobody you're accountable to. Nobody you're going to have to stand before. Well, I'll tell you something this morning. That's the furthest thing from the truth it could be. All you got to read the book of Genesis in the first couple of chapters. Preacher, I don't know why I can believe all that and not say that's your problem. It's a faith. Just open up your eyes. Just look around. And you could honestly say this morning, this thing just happened. Lord, help you. See, because if you can view it like that, then eternal things doesn't even begin to infiltrate your heart and mind. Because I'm living for the here and now. I'm living for that instant satisfaction. I'm living for that instant high. I'll tell you what, thank God I'm glad there's not a drug. There's not an alcohol. There's not anything in this world that will replace, hallelujah, the peace of God that I have in my heart this morning, the hope that I have in my heart this morning, that when God gets done with me here, hallelujah, I've got a better place to go. I've got a better day coming. I'm telling you what, there ain't nothing that money can't buy it. The devil can't take it away from me. I'm telling you, God designed me and God designed you that we could live with Him forever this morning. Not many people take into consideration. Oh, I'll do it and take the repercussions later. Well, a lot of people living like that. Amen. A lot of people living like that this morning. And then they want somebody to come get them out of the mess they're in. Amen. Aren't we having fun? I thought about it, these things that are eternal. I thought about God's design of man, it being a marvelous work. I thought about the method that He formed man of the dust of the ground. Again, that's way beyond my comprehension. But then notice in that same text that we read today that He made the male and the female. I never thought I'd live to see a day where people didn't know. Preacher, I can't believe you'd say something like that. I'm preaching the Bible this morning. God made them male and female. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God mess up on the original design? Oh, no. God's not messed up on the original design. People's warped thinking.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you ought not to say that. Well, I'm just being honest this morning. It's the warped thinking and the influence of old Satan this morning. You say, preacher, does that mean God doesn't love them? Oh, no, my friend. I'm glad, thank God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad He can change anybody. I'm glad He can rearrange anybody. I'm glad He can forgive anybody. But I'm telling you, we're living in a warped society this morning. And if you're not careful, it's going to influence your family, your children, your grandchildren. It's going to influence mine. I mean, we're supposed to accept everything anymore. Honestly. Oh, I feel it tighten up right there. Somebody ought to stay and tell the truth. Let them know there is a God that loves them and can forgive them and redeem them. He made them too. But he didn't make no mistakes. I see God's design of mankind. I see marvelous. The complexity of this human body is far beyond my comprehension. Listen, in all the technology we have and all the great doctors and medicine we have, the makeup of this human body even far exceeds anything they can explain. Talking about things that are eternal. Number one, God's design of man. Number two, and I'll try to move as quickly as I can. Not only do I see God's design of man, but I see God's distinction within man. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Look back in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Here's the distinction. Now, if you'll find it, if you got your Bible, just take it and jump right over to chapter 2, verse 19. We'll come back to verse 7. And out of the ground, the Lord God, out of the what?
Ground.
They just made out of dirt too. Isn't that amazing what God can do with dirt? Hallelujah. That's amazing, isn't it? And out of the ground, the Lord God formed beasts of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Go back to chapter 2, verse 7. Notice the distinction. Here's where I want to get into this morning for just a moment on things that are eternal. Verse number 7 again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. All right. Now let's look at these next few verses. Here is the distinction. Notice I read in chapter 2, verse 19 about how he formed the animals, the dust of the ground. What's the distinction? And breathed into his nostrils. God reached down, got him a big handful of dirt. Now he done that with the animals. But he said, this man called Adam, he's special. And so he walks up to, as he, you say, boy, you've got a vague imagination. Well, just leave me alone. I'm having a good time.
Yes.
Got him all made up. Got his hair parted just right. Put a big old smile on his face, Brother Richard. You say, how you know? Well, how could you not look and say God in the face and him breathing your nostrils a breath of life and you not smile about it? But he got him all fixed up and standing up there. You say, how do you know he's standing up? Well, I don't know, but I assume he's standing up. If he's not, he's laying down. One or the other. He got all he needed right there. Amen, brother. And could you imagine that God himself goes up to this man that he's made and he thinks so much of him? Now, he's not like the rest of the animals. Bless your little old pea-picking heart. God give us those animals and things to enjoy. But he give mankind something that he did not give those animals.
Right.
Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe and think whatever you want to think. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a distinction in mankind this morning that nobody, nothing, no other creature has on this side of eternity. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Yes.
And then what does the Bible say? And man became a what? Woo, hallelujah.
Yes.
Standing there, laying there, he was just a creation. A wonderful creation. A wonderful design. But when God himself leaned over to this man, Adam, and he went,
amen.
Man became a living soul. Can I say there was a time that I was dead in trespasses and sin? Hallelujah. But one Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost of God come to where I was at. I'm telling you what, a walking dead man, already in condemnation. But on that Sunday morning, thank God when I stepped out by faith and made my way to Calvary, I'm glad that God breathed into me, hallelujah, something. Thank God this day, hallelujah, I can't get over. I won't get over. Hallelujah, it's eternal life that I have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Thank God for the breath of God today.
Amen.
But man, we've just been an old hunk of clay. Had it not been for that breath of life. The Bible says he became a living what? Soul. A living so, I'm preaching on things that are eternal. Nothing wrong with God's design, but I love God's distinction. He gave to man something that he did not give, Brother Richard, to any other creation that he created. He gave us a soul. Preacher, I ain't going to have to worry about this eternity thing. You understand today there's a concept people says just when you die, you're like a dog, you're just dead. People think that way. Well, they hadn't read the Bible, have they? You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's up to you where you're going to spend it. Let me give you three things about this breath. Or about this distinction. Number one, I want you to know it's a personal breath. God Himself breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. It was a personal breath. I want you to notice it was a powerful breath. The very scriptures that you hold in your hand means the same thing. God breathed. God only breathed. Not that only God breathed life into man. And then, of course, we know that he took Adam, put a deep sleep, and performed his first surgery. Took a rib from his side and made a woman, a helpmate. There ain't nothing wrong with the way God designed it and God made it. Man's the ones messed all that up. God's design, God's distinction. I think about the personal breath, a powerful breath. But I want you to get something else. It's a permanent breath. You are going to spend eternity somewhere.
Yes, sir.
People, it's like Brother Fletcher said this week, everybody you talk to says they're saved. Everybody in this building might have stood up this morning when those kids sang that song. I don't know. I didn't look. None of my business. That's between you and God. But deep down in the soul of your heart, you know things ain't right between you and God. Devil's tried to slip you a counterfeit. Hey, man. I'm glad this Bible teaches me that I can know that I've passed from death into life. I'm glad this Bible tells me He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means if I go back out to living like I used to live, if He don't ring my bell, then there's something wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and preach, preacher. Amen. Preacher, it's getting late. It may be getting a whole lot later than what you realize. God's design, God's distinction, personal breath, a powerful breath, a permanent breath. Man became a living soul. And your living soul is eternal today, friend. You are going to spend eternity somewhere.
Amen.
And according to the scriptures, there's only two places. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to preach through both of those places in the weeks to come. I'm going to preach about a glorious place called heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God where there'll never be no more sickness, no sorrow, no separation, and no Satan.
Amen.
We're also going to preach about a place called hell, where the worm dieth not. The fire's never quenched. And the torment's forever. You better get your mind on things that are eternal. Because God made you a living soul. I see God's design. I see God's distinction. Thirdly, quickly, I thought about God's desire for man. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let me just give you a couple of three things here quickly from the verses that I read. And certainly there's more things in here, but I don't have time to bring them out this morning. But God's desire for man was, number one, for man to work. Oh, that hurts so bad. I mean, you tell young people that, that's just like shooting them in the heart. You mean I'm going to have to work for it? Well, bless God, if you get it, you ought to have to work for it. God put man in the garden, told Adam, you go into work. You go tend the garden. Now, back then it was a pleasure. After the curse, it became a curse. But God still designed man to work. Everybody ought to have something to do. And if you don't have anything, come to me and Ronnie, we'll find you something. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. God's desire for man was to work. God's desire for man was to replenish. Have the commitment of marriage. God laid old Adam out there, put him to sleep, performed the first surgery, took that rib out, made him a woman that they'd be a helpmeet. And what's he tell him to do? To go and replenish the earth. That's the reason he made a male and female. Because male and male can't do that. Female and female can't do that. And somebody's messed up and don't know what they are. I don't know what they're going to do. What are they going to do? I mean, they're just here trying to figure it all out. Well, we'll have somebody to help you figure that out if you need it. Why is that so hard? God's desire for man was to go to work. God's desire for man was to replenish the earth. Now, he didn't make you and I like he made Adam in a sense that he took the dust of the ground and formed us. He gave us a mom and a daddy. He made us in his image and his likeness. Today, people just do any way and do anything, but there's still a commitment of marriage. One man and one woman. Get mad at the preacher if you want to. It's still God's way. Whew, I'm going to get in trouble today. God's desire for man was for man to work, for man to replenish, and to man to have a relationship. God gave him a helpmate to have a wonderful relationship with. But more than that, he made man and put in him that living soul that he might have a relationship with him. You know, the Bible says that God come down in the cool of the day, or the voice of the Lord come down in the cool of the day. Adam, where you at? Now that indicates to me that there'd been some sweet fellowship up to that point. But something happened. So God's desire for man to work, to replenish, and to have a relationship. Thank God for the relationships that we have this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And especially the relationship we can have with Him. Let me give you something else quickly this morning. I've got to get done. We see God's design. We see God's distinction. We see God's desire. But then there was God's demand. God gave Adam and Eve that whole garden and gave them one rule. If you break that rule, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's the reason when God come calling, Adam and Eve was out in the bushes hiding. It's not that God didn't know where they was at. It was that God didn't know what was done. God was seeing if he was going to own up to it. See, that's the problem today. God knows, and most people don't want to own up to it. They broke his commandment. One simple rule. And then you sat there all pious like you had never sin broke the law of God. God help us this morning. Amen. God help us. Because we made out of the same stuff Adam's made out of. God's demand. Don't break that rule. But I'm glad even before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God already made a plan. Why? Because when he breathed in Adam's nostrils that breath of life and man became a living soul, there was going to be a problem. But I'm glad, thank God, that wasn't a problem that God hadn't already thought about and how he was going to provide and how he was going to have a solution for that problem. See God's design. I see God's distinction. Thank God for God's distinction. See God's desire. I see God's demand. But lastly, I see man's departure. Man chose to sin there in the garden. He chose to sin. He wasn't made to sin. He chose to sin. And you and I, according to the Scriptures, are sinners. See, what happened in Adam being our father, and he breathing in his nostrils that breath of life, and man became a living soul and being eternal. Not only did we inherit that eternal soul, we inherited, if you will, that eternal sin. So that created a problem. God said, I got it. I've got it. Not only did he choose to sin, but God had to send a sacrifice because a man's soul is eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but hath, present tense, everlasting life. Now let me ask you a question as we close this morning. We get all caught. Listen, I know we're busy and there's a lot to take our minds and our time and our priorities. But how often do you really think about things that are eternal? Could I suggest to you this morning you might ought to get to thinking about it?
Right.
You might ought to get to thinking about it. If you live to be 100. And I dare say there's very few people sitting in this auditorium today, this sanctuary, that'll live to see 100 on this side. But God breathed into you something that's eternal, that's going to live somewhere. And it's up to you where you spend it.
Man.
Oh yes, there was a problem come up. But I'm glad God said, I've got the solution. And it's my Son. Have you trusted in His Son that gives eternal life? You have an eternal soul. But do you have eternal life? It's entirely up to you what you do with Jesus. Nothing wrong with the original design. God made a distinction. God has a desire. God has some demands. He's God. He can do that. And that's up to you and I what we do with it. Things that are eternal. Stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, come get us a song. Father.